Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to stand together for the reading of God's word. I love the word of God. I said, I love the word of God. I hope you love the word of God. It's life and it's health and it's healing for your bones. Thank you, Lord. It says in the first chapter, in the third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think about that for a minute. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Thank you, Father, for being so gracious to us, for what you're doing even before we can ask. Thank you for change. We need that in process. And we thank you for the presence of the Spirit of God who reveals truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Even when we've made poor decisions, when we acted recklessly, when we almost drove off the cliff, God was right there. God is amazing. Amen? I said, God is amazing. Thank him. You're amazing, Lord. Thank the Lord. Come on, thank him. He stepped in and kept us from total disaster, interrupted our plans, rearranged our destiny. Tell your neighbor, it's good for us to be here. Amen? It is. It's good for us to be here. God has a wonderful future planned for you. And I want to talk a little bit about kingdom future. When we keep our hearts clean, we can hear clearly from the Lord. When we keep our hearts clean, we can hear from God more clearly. The plan for your demise is too late to prevent your destiny. So whatever the enemy's plotted against you, it's too late. God's plan for you is in action. When Paul was speaking to the church, he told them how God had a plan for them and had chosen them before the foundation of the world. Let that sink in for a minute. He had a plan for his people before the foundation of the world. He told them of God's plan to make them holy and without blemish, to one day be able to stand before him in love as we enter into the eternals with him. He told them they were predestined to himself for adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Those are very important biblical principles that the church ought to have embraced and stand on, grow from, and develop accordingly. The mind of God is seen and revealed in the Scripture. You get to see and experience and know the mind of the Lord. And this is a revelation of his thinking, of his mind. God doesn't wait until you're in a crisis to plan your victory. Well, how are we going to fix this now? He said, before the foundation of the world, before anything existed on the planet, God already planned for your victory. And what catches people by surprise does not catch God by surprise. We're seated here in this room tonight, and it's no surprise to God that you are here present in this service. Everything we see and experience, everything that happens circumstantially is not the perfect will of God, but he has a solution for everything. God knew before he created Adam that he would need a second Adam, Jesus. And God began to talk about second Adam long before Jesus ever appeared on earth. Before Gabriel was assigned to speak with Mary, God was already speaking of Jesus way back in the book of Genesis. He said the serpent would bruise his heel, his son's heel, and Jesus would bruise the serpent's head. God thinks eternally with destiny in view. So whatever is needed for your destiny, God already anticipated and planned. Even when you were in the worst crisis, he knew there would be a crisis in your life. Now, when you're happy, when you're enjoying life, he already knew something would be coming down the road, and he planned ahead with a remedy in place to counter the attack when it would be sprung on you. God knew what you would experience in 1999, in 2009, in 2019, when we turn the page of the calendar. He knows what will happen, and he orchestrates his plans for victory before you even know the battle you're about to face. God is not a man. He's not like us. He is proactive, thousands of years ahead of us in the way he plans. God already knew who would win the elections this past week. He already knew that. We have to walk it out in time. We have to walk it out in this present plane. None of this catches God by surprise. He already had his plans in place so we would be able to receive his offer of salvation. That was already on the ticket. And while we were messed up and addicted and even immoral, God had a plan of holiness in place for us. He didn't wait to put the plan in place until we decided we wanted to do right. His plans were in place when we had no desire to do right. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? God wasn't waiting for us to get our backs against the wall to make provision for us. He cleansed us before we even knew how much he loved us. Even when we were vile, God still had his plans in place. When we were in the worst moments of our lives, not thinking about him, not thinking about worship. Listen, we were not thinking about prayer, nor thinking about his word, nor did we want to hear this pastor. God had a plan in place. Never think God just shows up on the doorstep when you thought, I may need to go to church tomorrow. God already knew you were going to show up. Our future has already been seen, and God already has his perfect will in place for our lives. God knew exactly what time that you would accept a God thought after having had years of negative thoughts. He had plans in place when you were still thinking evil. What kind of a God? He plans our future in the beginning of the book, and then he plans how we will live it out until the end of the book. Everything for our purpose has been planned by our Creator. What kind of God is this? There is no God like our God. Amen. Some like to blame God for negative things that happen in life, but he already had a plan in place to counter the negative happenings that would occur. Incoming text. Many of the negative things that happen are because of bad decisions we make. Yeah. Then we ask God, why did you allow this to happen to me? No, you made a choice. But God will come to your aid to help you and to fix it. Say, even when I made some bad decisions, my God showed up to fix it. Now, there are some of you here tonight acting like you've never done anything wrong. Liar, liar, your pants are on fire. Okay. Before you thought it, God had a plan to fix it. God's plans for your life are greater than the negative choices you ever made in your past. And your life has already been purposed by God. This is an amazing passage at the beginning of this book that he writes to the church at Ephesus. No matter how far you've run from God's will, no matter how dirty you feel, unless God is coming to rescue you, there's a plan in place that you can run only so far. Everywhere you run, you are going to meet up with God. He'll be waiting there in advance of your arrival. And no matter the plans you've made, you're going to find that God is waiting for you when the plan concludes. Listen, if John could be intersected on the Isle of Patmos by God, that was the Alcatraz of its day. It was the place they put people they never wanted to see or hear from again. I don't know what island that you can go sail to, but I guarantee you this, in the worst of places, you're still going to find God shows up there. That's the God that loves us and cares about us. Many are worried about their future. Why are you worried about your future? Your future is in God. Go through the process. You see, this is where he refines us. It's in the process. Go through the process. The intent of God for you is a good future. To get you there, he wants process to take place. The process is designed to get some stuff off of us, to whittle away the things that don't belong in his kingdom. We are being polished, but we need to sing a song while we're in process. And you might not know how to sing, but you learn how to sing when you are in process, which means when hell is breathing down my back, I will sing a song of thanksgiving to my God. I will breathe the breath that he's provided me. I will see the sunrise in the morning. I will open my eyes and I will sing glory, hallelujah. Thank you for the privilege of serving you today. Thank you, in spite of process, for your faithfulness to me. When you're singing a song of praise to God, it's an announcement to the devil. It's not going to end the way you planned it. Who has a testimony? It's not going to end the way the devil planned it. It will not end in financial disaster. It will not end with a fatality. God has predestined what he desires in our lives. Somebody take a moment and say thanks to the Lord. Amen. And God is not nervous. He never gets worried. He's never nervous. Oh, what are we going to do now? He's not worried about Calvary Christian Center. He's not worried about your pastor. What's the future? See, those questions, they come out of the heart of man. That's not God. God's not worried about all of that. God put in place thousands of years ago our destiny. What he's exercising in us tonight, right now, all we need to do is trust him. Say, okay, you got me planned. I'm going to trust you in this. And there is no devil in hell that can stop what God wants for your life. Only your own bad choices can delay or abort God's plans. Those are the only things that get in the way and slow stuff down. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. So it doesn't matter how many challenges come your way. Get ready. You're coming out of them. And there's breakthrough anointing upon us. Breakthrough anointing in our lives. There is a word in your belly. All you need to do is speak it out of your mouth and put it in the atmosphere. Decree and declare what God promised you. It shall come to pass, not someday, but in this season. Because the word says this, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Thank the Lord. That includes ladies too, by the way. That's in the generic form. As children of the Lord is the better translation. He's predestined us to adoption as sons. God had an adoption in place before we were considered orphans. Think about that. His plan was in place before we walked away from him and became alienated from him. God intended from before the beginning that we would not be orphans, that we would become sons and daughters. That's what he planned from the beginning. If you have an orphan spirit, you're choosing or allowing it to manifest. An orphan is in a good home and steals from the home he is in. Because the orphan doesn't know, as long as I understand that I'm a son, a daughter, what is in this house is my inheritance. It belongs to me. I don't have to steal to get by. It's been blessed on my life. And when you understand you're not an orphan, you are now an asset to the house, not a deficit. You are a blessing in the family. You are not a negative. And it's already determined. It's already appointed. It was already settled beforehand by the Lord. Before you were put in time, it was already appointed. It was already settled before time began. Before the foundations were laid, God already had you planned in his heart. Think about that. And he had all of us. And all the millions around the world who will one day rejoice with him, standing before him in his kingdom. God then placed everything in time so that while we are in time, we would figure out his power has already granted us the victory. So whatever your problem in time, he calculated it all before you were in your mother's womb. He did all the math. Did all the calculations. He did everything on a ledger, planned every detail, every moment, all the days of your lives. Listen, God already calculated your adversities. He put that into the factor. God already calculated the pain you would endure in your lifetime. God already calculated the losses that would happen to you. God already calculated the days you would feel as though you had lost and you didn't know what to do next. When God tallied up all of his calculations, it still totaled victory next to your name. Praise the Lord. It still tallied victory next to your... Come on, somebody ought to thank God for that. And it's no surprise to God, none whatsoever. With many of us, we think detours are delays. But even when we go through detours, we still end up at the right place at the right time. God's time. His ways are not ours. God's time. We want to get there on our time clock. But God has better timing than we have. His timing is perfect. If you got there when you wanted to get there, you would have arrived too early. You would have not been prepared for what you were going to face. But when you arrive on God's time, it's the right time. And then all you have to do is work your thing. That's all you got to do when you arrive on time, God's time. When you look at this, how God has put this together in Ephesians, when you arrive in God's time, you won't be struggling with, what am I supposed to do now? Or how am I going to deal with this? You're going to know exactly what to do because God will have prepared you beforehand for what you will experience when you arrive at the destination he's planned for you on time. The enemy thought you were confined, but God executes his plan for your life right on time. So he says to Moses, when they've got mountains around them and the armies of Egypt coming for them from the behind, and they're looking into the face of the Red Sea, Moses, lift your staff over the Red Sea and move. This is the time. When you are in God's timing, financial issues can't stop you. Relationships that are going crazy can't stop you. When you learn how to be patient, waiting for God's time, and in the middle of waiting, always do the right thing. Because that's where some people get off the rails. In the middle of their waiting, they get anxious and impatient and they start making choices and they make mistakes that sometimes they can't fix for many, many years. Yeah. So I would encourage you, in the middle of waiting, do the right thing. Make good choices, biblically based. Be patient, be faithful. Go do the things God's assigned you with the same passion that you had when you first started doing them. And don't tell God you're bored doing what he's asked you to do. Because don't offend God by telling him his assignment isn't as exciting to you as it once was. I was looking at a person that sends me a little bit of a study every month or so. He's a theological scholar, and I'm dissecting Revelation 2:4, and he's talking about what John has had revelation of, and he's speaking about the church, and he's saying, I have a problem with the church. And I'm looking at this in Revelation 2:4, and God says, nevertheless, the Greek word Allah, which essentially means but, okay? It means that despite all the outstanding commendations I've given the church in these other verses, there's one point at which you are not commendable. In spite of all the remarkable features at the same church that I'm preaching about and from tonight in my text, the church at Ephesus, so outstanding were their characteristics. And the scholar dissecting this in Revelation 2 says, these believers had failed in this such a specific area, it was so bothersome to Jesus, he personally held it against them. The phrase against thee in the Greek is very personal. It informs us the Lord is deeply disturbed by something he found in the church at Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have something against thee because you have left your first love. And so I print out what the scholar sends me, because it's so helpful to me in studying that language. And the Greek sentence structure for the verse, very different than the King James Version. It literally says this, because your love, the first love, you have left. It's the way that sentence is constructed. That means early love, the passion with which you once served the Lord. See, when you were in the position of waiting, you need to do the right things, the fundamental things, the principled things, and you do them with joy, and you do them with passion, and you do them with energy, as if you were doing them for Jesus the very first time. And he's talking about the church at Ephesus, and it says, I want you to awaken in your heart to like you once were years earlier, like people who fell in love. And you fell hard in love after me when you first came to me. Your hearts were captivated by me, and you were willing to sacrifice anything and do anything for me. And then he goes on to tell the church, there was nothing you wouldn't do. Your ministry, the repentance you produced was radical. It was far-reaching. It was profound. And you were completely sold out to me with no sorrow or regret or reservation. Your love, the first love, you have left, Jesus says. That's a scary thought. You have left. The Greek word aphiemi, which denotes the voluntary release of something once held dear, or to neglect or to ignore, or to have left something or someone behind. The dangers of spiritual apathy when we are waiting for God to reveal what he has told us as our destiny, when we quit, when we cave, when we stop, when we pause, when we have an attitude that we don't love him as Pat because this isn't fun anymore, this is hard work. And well, he's polishing us, and he's preparing us, and he's sanding us, and he's preparing us in process. And if we won't stay faithful in the process, we're not going to reach the destiny with any joy. And we're certainly not going to have a happy Jesus looking at us when he says to us, I hold this against you. I just want you to do what I ask you to do. That's the test. In the middle of the waiting, do the right thing. Be faithful. Don't compromise. So you are breaking out, and nothing can stop what God planned for you if you learn to trust Him. You move and work with what God's given you. That's what you do. And He's always on time. No matter what mistakes were made in the past, no one knows what you've gone through. No one understands the experiences that you've had to face. But our Father knows all about them in detail. One door closes and another door opens and it's hell in the hallway. But stop placing the floor and begin praising the Lord your God even when you're in the hallway between the doors. Amen. Because if it's already been predetermined and set beforehand, why do we have to act like others to get there? God didn't choose us to be like the culture. He chose us to be like Him. So we have to learn how to walk in it. We have no identity crisis. The breakthrough is in your hands, on your row. Be who you are in Christ Jesus. Because God has a unique plan for each of us. So we bring ourselves before the Father and we give Him thanks. And there's no one in this house, no one in the world that has the same thumbprint. God has made you unique to Himself. And He wants you, and He loves you, and He wants you to love Him like He loves you. So don't allow anyone to stop what God is doing to bring you to fulfillment. You're stepping into your identity, stepping into your authenticity. God wants to do something so amazing. You've been a little down on yourself or a little devaluing of yourself or thinking, well, if this is all there is to it for the rest of my days, it's not for the rest of your days. Now hear this. You are the apple of God's eye. God is singing over you, smiling over you, anticipating the best to come out of you. And influences and environment and parenting you received, all of that. So take a look back at some of that. And friends and education, these influences are your culture. Culture is our customary beliefs, our social norms, our traits, our socialization. It was absorbed. That's what happens in the first 7 years of life. It's absorbed. You acquired it from your surroundings. This approach in the natural realm isn't left us unstable spiritually. It's fluid because the culture constantly is changing. Our beliefs are established on a different culture based on absolute truth that never changes. Truth does not change with circumstances or situations. And as citizens of the kingdom of God, no matter what it is that's in flux around us, we must never be swayed by the kingdom of darkness or by what we see going on around us. The government and culture of our kingdom does not change. The kingdom is the only entity on earth where we have stable government and constant culture. It never changes. It belongs to the king. The values, the laws, the moral standards, the ideals, the norms, the directions, the goals, all spiritual authority of this kingdom are unchangeable. They will never change. So in Zephaniah 3, for the Lord your God is living among you, He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Praise the Lord. Amen. Someone ought to be getting a little bit loose spiritually right now, a little free. Anybody got some freedom yet down in your shoes? Man, loosen up out there, right? Come on. You're working your way out of some stuff if you're listening to the Word of God. Amen? The joy of the Lord is finding you. The peace of God is finding you. The provision of God's faithfulness is finding you. Emotional and mental release is finding you. All you need is coming to you right now. I just read it to you by the prophet Zephaniah. When people can't figure out why you have withdrawn a little bit from their presence, just tell them, I have an appointment. And then you can say this under your breath. It's not with you because you're just too negative to step into destiny. Okay. We can get around so much negativity, people talking down. The stuff you hear constantly in the media, oh my goodness. So dismiss yourself from that and show up for your appointment and keep your appointment with the one who rejoices over you with joyful song. Because the Lord has told you, you will pass the test. So go ahead and show up for your appointment and sit with him and fellowship with him. Your earthly enemy, the adversary, can only research you to the day you were born. It's as far back as he can go. Your Creator began his plan for your life before you were ever conceived. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. That's stunning. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Are you not rejoicing in this God? Loves you more than you can understand, and be thankful for a God who's planned you. If all the devil can do is trace me back to my birthday, the devil is in big trouble. My plan was in place long before the date of my birth. Now, I don't know what your birth date is, but this I do know. God's plan is much older than your birth date. And the reason you did not miscarry, nor were you aborted. God had a plan for you, and you've already kept one of your appointments by being here tonight. Your appointment tonight was to be here in this service to hear this revelation. So I dare you, if you know you didn't miss your appointment, lift your hands for a moment, lift your voice, give thanks to the Lord that you're here with him in his presence, serving the great God. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And at your appointed time, that's when the devil is all out of time. At your appointed time. Because when God gets you to exactly where he wants you, the devil's out of time. He got nothing he can do to stop it now. You're standing in your appointed place and time. Devil's out of time. All he can do is accuse you, threaten you. He can't stop what God's ordained in your life. Therefore, listen to me. Listen now. Therefore, you are unstoppable. I said you are unstoppable. You just keep on walking through because you cannot be stopped. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And if you've shown up tonight at your appointed time, we all need to be able to come forward in a moment and give God a greater expression of our thanks than we've been doing for most of this service. So let's stand to our feet like one mighty in sync body coordinated. Let's come forward together as his church, and let's approach God at this altar and begin to express our thanksgiving for a God who has planned us before the foundations of the world. What are we gonna do in this Kairos moment? A Kairos moment is when God reaches out of eternity into time, this time that we're in right now, and says, my hand, a blessing, is on your life. So receive that. Come on, everybody. Come forward in unity, and let's give thanks and praise to the Lord our God.